Just the time?
Yeah, that's fine. What'll happen is when somebody is reviewing it, they'll make notes on what you said. Yeah, that's cool. And of course, I'm Chris.
Chris?
Claude, yeah, the good one.
We're ready to go.
Okay, great, thanks, Clayton. Ryan, Don, why don't you just raise that up for the camera, so, yeah, turn it around. Yeah, just leave it there for a second. Oh, first time. Oh, great. Okay, good.
Got her?
Third tank's alpha, yeah, great. Oh, really appreciate you doing this. I'm a newbie myself. I did this yesterday.
Okay.
So I just, monkey see, monkey do. Why don't you give your, some information here, because it's gonna be transcribed as well.
Okay.
It's gonna be taken from here and then written out in narrative form.
All right.
So why don't you give us your name, your outfit, and kind of your years of service with the Marine Corps, and then, you know, overseas.
Okay, my name is Donald Sanders, Jr. My hometown, I live in Elyria, Ohio right now.
All right.
When I enlisted in the Marines, it was Mansfield, Ohio.
Okay.
That was in April of 1967.
Okay.
I had already been in the Marine Corps once before and got medically discharged in January of 1965. So I did not have to go back in the Marine Corps or in the service at all. Okay?
Okay.
I made a promise to a friend, and because he got drafted, and he wanted to know about the Marine Corps 120-day delay program, which I told him about, because he wanted to be with his girlfriend that summer. And that was the summer of 66.
Okay, summer of love.
19, yeah, for him, yeah. Yeah, I'd be more explicit, but I guess this is going to be... Anyway,
okay.
To make that story short, and I told him to join the Air Wing, okay?
Okay, MAW, sure.
Yeah, so anyway, I got back, went out to Colorado, I was working in a mine, I came back in Christmas of 66. There he was home from ITR, orders to Westpac Ground Forces. And I said, what happened to the aviation guarantee? He was colorblind. So supposedly that negated that, and they made him a grunt. And that's when that kind of hit me real hard, because I'd made a promise to him that I was going to go with him. In that same time frame, I knocked up my girlfriend, married her. She didn't know that I had told him that. So anyway, to make a long story.
All right.
I told her, and I said, I have to go, because I made that promise.
Sure.
So I enlisted we got married in February of 67. I went in April of 67 to boot camp.
So
and I told my entire family that I signed up for the aviation guarantee, because my father was a Marine and her dad was a Marine, ex-Marines.
Okay.
Well, former Marines, World War II guys. So that's that part of it.
Okay, so you were in the Marine Corps for how long?
I was in the Marine Corps, well, after
the first
that,
time.
Oh, the first time, just maybe 6 weeks.
Okay.
The Joe Theismann football break, do you remember that? He was a quarterback for...
Yeah, his name was Theismann, but they called him Theismann.
Yeah, remember Theismann. When he broke his leg? That's the same break I had playing football at Ohio University. Put a steel rod in my leg, and I had the option of having it taken out, which I did. But you were supposed to wait a year after that to go into service.
I see.
I waited 6 weeks and joined the Marines.
Okay.
I lasted 4 weeks before it caught up. I couldn't even march anymore, so they gave me a medical down there.
I see. So they let you back in?
Yes.
Because the wound healed?
Yes, but I had to go through 3 physicals and get some kind of approval from God, okay, to get back in the Marine Corps.
Okay.
So, right, so that's that part of it.
So you went in again the second time in April?
April of 67.
67.
Yes.
You joined about a million other Marines, I think it was.
Right.
at the same time. How'd you go overseas? Were you flown in or did you go on a boat?
I flew.
Okay.
On a Continental.
Okay. Where'd you land at? Besides Da Nang, I mean, where was your first duty station?
Okay. I got there in November of 67 and Fubai was the first duty station.
Okay.
All right. I was assigned to, I had tanks, critical MOS.
All right.
All right. So they sent me to Fubai. I'd already been through tank school, obviously. And, you know, it was like we're all supposed to go through a 2-week refresher course or whatever. Sure. Up there. Well, that, I got there in November 67 and wound up doing a couple of patrols, you know, grunting and, you know, went on a payroll drive with an officer. Anyway, some LPs and that kind of stuff. And then finally, never did get on a tank, and they finally said, okay, what company do you want to go to? The first sergeant did. And I asked him, where's Lima Company 3-4? And he wanted to know why, and I told him, that's where Bob McConnell is. And he said, who's that? I said, that's my best friend. He said, well, that's Alpha Company, and they are right now at the washout. And I said, that's where I want to go.
Okay.
He said, everybody in Alpha Company's got a Purple Heart. You sure you want to go? I said, I guess I'm going to get a Purple Heart. So I went up there. And first, you know, got to Dong Ha. And like the next day, I think it was the next day, whatever, day or two, I was out at the washout. Got to, his bunker was right next to where my tank had been, or was.
Mm-hmm.
And after I went through the typical thing that every tanker goes through when you get assigned to a new tank, is like you're in the tank and you will break down to 30 in less than 90 seconds and change the firing pin and all that kind of stuff, okay? So I went to the bunker and he had been sent on a TAD deal down to Hai Van Pass.
TAD, temporary assigned duty?
Yes.
Okay.
A week later, whatever, okay, I get up and I thought he would be back. 3-4 had pulled out early that morning or that night and up on the other side of Contien. Okay, so I did not get to see him at all. I missed him. I asked his buddies, where is he? You know, where, you know, and, you know, they told me the Hai Van Pass deal. And so they got sent up on the other side of Contien by the marketplace.
Okay.
About a week later, 2 weeks later, we got sent. We relieved Cone's, Lieutenant Cone's platoon at Contien. We went up to Contien. That was the way it worked. You know, you rotated mm-hmm. platoons. Right after that,
So did you ever see him?
I'm going to tell you that right now.
Okay.
Lima Company walked into it was more than a company-sized ambush. He was point man, which he normally wouldn't have been. To make the story short, he got killed, and we were reactionary to go out there. I got there. I tried to do what I promised.
Well, you should be relieved that you...
But I knew there was nothing I could do.
Right. Was it? Yeah.
Okay. You know, so then the rest of the time was like, okay, here we go.
So how long... You were over there for...
I was there for 13 months.
Yeah, the traditional 12 and 20.
Yes.
12 and 20 months. So you worked... Were you a grunt the entire time?
No, I was in tanks.
Okay. So when you went to the washout, you were in tanks.
Yeah, I got.
But he was in infantry.
He was in Lima 3-4.
Yeah.
And I was on Alpha. I was on Alpha 4-1.
Right.
Okay. And Staff Sergeant Patterson was my tank commander.
Okay.
He was like the platoon sergeant then.
All right.
I think Lieutenant Brignan was our platoon leader.
Okay.
Anybody
on your tank that you remember?
When I first got there, most of those guys were going home. There was a Sergeant Bullington, I remember. He's the one that, you know, trained me inside the tank. Hey, this is what you got to know, and you got to know it now.
And you got it, yeah.
You will know it now, okay? And the next day, it was like...
his life depends on it, yeah.
Exactly, everybody's did. And the next day, okay, it was like, I'm a loader now, okay? They made me the loader, not the drunk loader, okay? So how many rounds can you keep in the air at whatever distance it was? And it, you had to do at least three.
Right.
Okay, so I went through that and, you know, went through the functions of being a loader, okay, just so they knew that I knew what the hell I was doing.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and I went, and, you know. And, of course, the one thing that I think everybody has in their mind when you first get there, you're the FNG and...
FNG, freaking new guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was...
That's fine.
Being politically correct. Yeah. Yeah, and you're, you know, you, the one thing that's in the back of your mind is, can I do it? Will I chicken out, you know? And what's going to happen the first time we hit the ship?
Right.
That's it.
Okay.
You were
what
there,
happened you, the first time you hit the ship?
I did what I had to do, and we took care of business.
All right, so you were, as a loader?
As a loader.
And were you ever a gunner?
Yeah, I became gunner right after that. I was a loader maybe, you know, a month, maybe, no. Probably not even a month, and we got another guy, and I can't even remember who that was, and I became a gunner.
Okay.
As a gunner, I remember going, and I'm guessing this is January or February.
Of 1968.
All of this is 68 now, okay. There was a grunt company that had come into the washout, they had, and I can't remember what outfit it was, all right? And they got called out real quick, and they went out right outside the washout and immediately got hit bad. And they didn't go out with tanks, they just went out, you know. So the next morning we went out to try and get the bodies because they said there were 13 guys still out there. You know, and the rest of the company had made it back into the washout. So we went out there with tanks, two tanks, and we were going into the across the rice paddies, and there, it was like a heavy tree line and some heavy, just heavy stuff. And there was like, as I recall, it seems like there was some kind of building over there. It might have been an old church, okay? I don't know what it was because I was the gunner,
okay?
So we're going in there, and we started firing, you know, I started firing into the tree line, you know, as we're going in there. We got in there, and, you know, there was we got a couple of them that we found. And we loaded all the bodies from the Marines on the tank, and we found one guy alive.
Wow.
Yeah.
I bet you he was happy.
He was happier than a pig eating, you know what.
Yeah.
And he was, but... That was my first introduction. Well, actually, my first introduction into the gore was the first night I was at Dong Ha. They rocketed the tank park, okay, and we were in tents there.
Mm-hmm.
And it walked right in the tank park, and I didn't know where to run. The guy showed, I ran up in the tank park and got underneath the tank. When I came back, the company gunny told me to go get a bucket and some water and a brush because a couple of guys had been hit, and part of one of the guy was all over the tent, so I had to scrub all that off. And that's when I said, okay, here we go. All right, so then, but I didn't see any bodies. I just saw and threw up a few times scrubbing that off. But when we put all those bodies on that tank, that was a
defining moment.
Yeah, I mean, there was a kid there that was, he looked like he might have been 16, and just, he looked like he was sleeping, and, but he was, you know, obviously, he was totally white, he'd already bled out, and most of them were already in rigor, and you know, I don't know whether you've ever done that or not, but you throw those guys on a tank, and they're in such grotesque positions, and all chopped up and everything else, it's...
I was a caisson during the siege.
Okay. So you know what I'm talking about.
What, do you remember any of the operations names that you were on?
Yeah, I really don't. I maybe Thor, but they never told, okay, us, us being the troopies, okay? Right. It was like, okay, mount up, we're going out, okay? Right. And that would, we'd just do what we had to do. You know, I remember three or four operations we were on, you know, but I don't know what the names of them were. I was supposed to go on 251, Lamson 250, where right. they went up there.
Yeah, I was on Lamson 250.
Okay, I was supposed to go on that. I was the TC of 4-1. By that time, I was the TC, and I got bit by a rat that morning, okay? And I still asked Lieutenant Spalsbury, was right. the guy from Alpha Company, the one right. said, you know, sir, I don't give a shit about this rat bite. He says, you got to go.
Yeah.
He says, there's no choice. You have to go because you don't mess around with rabies.
Yeah.
So I got medevaced or whatever. Not medevaced. I had to fly down to Da Nang and get my own rabies serum.
Right.
And I don't even know who they put on my tank to replace me. But, you know, so I didn't go on Lamson 250. All my crew did, which was hard. That was hard for me. Really hard for me.
Yeah. Yeah, especially for some payback, too.
Yeah.
I was a gunner on 3-4 with Sergeant Soda.
So, okay.
That was a little payback that we had. Do you go to the Veterans Hospital at all?
Yes.
And what, are you on a percentage?
I'm on a 60% disability. First I went because of blood pressure, and that was like 10%, and then I got diabetes, and that put me at 30, and then everybody talked me into, you need to go, you got PTSD, go. They were telling me that from the time I spent 11 years in the Marines, and actually I stayed in because I could relate to people still
right.
that had been in, but you know.
Right. Right.
And I didn't stay in tanks.
Oh, what were you?
I changed MOSs, and I was lucky enough to get in computers.
I see.
Which was a critical MOS also, so I got the reenlistment bonus of 10,000 skins. And I was like...
And you ran out and bought a Corvette?
No, I was married.
Okay.
She put the skids on that.
I see.
She ran out and bought
furniture. Are you
still married to her? Yes, I am, as a matter of fact. Well, we're not married, but we're living together. There was... problem a few years ago, and it wasn't me, surprisingly. Well, it might have been me that drove her there, but she was the one that I married before I went to Vietnam.
Right.
Okay. And she went all through the war, you know, and...
So you're still married to her?
She's still my gal. That's it. And I'm still her idiot, you know?
I got you.
Yeah.
And you were in 11 years. What rank did you leave?
I left as a gunny with 3 years in grade, and I had been selected for E8, and like a dumbass, I got out.
After 11 years, and that was fast.
It went fast because the civilian market for guys was snatching them out of the Marine Corps, and it was a lot of money,
Did you get snatched out of the Marine Corps?
Beg your pardon?
Did you get snatched?
I didn't get snatched. I thought I'd get out there and get some of that money. That grass.
And
I was wrong. I got out there and got it and didn't know what I was getting into from a business standpoint.
I see.
And I just got knifed in the back and everything else. I should have stayed in the Marine Corps.
I see.
Should have, could have, would have.
That's interesting. Are there any stories that
I was on...
Or incidents, I should say, or vignettes that are... outstanding.
Again, like you say, you know, I don't know what operation it was. They sent us out from Contien, and I'm thinking this was in May of 68. A lot of stuff happened around that time. At the end of April, okay, it was Dido, which it was like Easter, okay?
Do you know Andy Anderson?
No.
Okay. He was a Dido.
I've heard that. Was he Charlie Company?
Yes.
Okay. Charlie Company, and I know what happened over there. Echo 2-4 wiped, you know, damn near got wiped out over there.
Right.
And there was another company.
Right.
Anyway, we were part of Task Force Robbie, and John Weir still doesn't believe that, but we were. Alpha 4-1 was the CO's tank, okay? And I guess that's why we were part of it.
Right.
So we went over there for that, and they loaded us on Mike boats, and we got over. But by the time we got there, it was pretty much over.
I see.
Okay, so we were like a mop up and throw stuff on a tank deal, you know. So that was that. But as soon as we got back from that, Delta 126 walked into it right outside of Dong Ha. L-shaped ambush with 50 calibers. They almost got wiped out down there. We went into that. I don't know how many were. That was bad. And then after that, was when we were up at Contien, and that's when they sent 5th Platoon out into the trace with two bulldozers, okay? And I guess the mission was we were supposed to re-clean the trace, I don't know. But like the first day out there, the bulldozers hit some mines, so the drivers were bouncing up. They had those cages on the dozers, do you remember that?
Yeah.
Okay, so it might have been the second day. But the very first night, they probed our lines, okay? And the grunts right next to us yelled, "Tank!" They always called us Tank, you remember that? Anyway, it's like, what? You hear that? Anyway, right, and then the shit hit the fan, whatever. And they got two guys that were out in front of them, pulled them in. That thing, to me, couple of days later, maybe. I'm not sure that in the time of this, because we were out there for 25 days.
Okay.
And we worked with I don't know how many different grunt outfits on that deal, and I don't even know who they were. But what I'm getting at is, they were following us, and I think trying to get the tanks, because we set up one night in our perimeter, and Staff Sergeant Pattison was the platoon commander. You know, he got off the tank to go to the CP group for, you know, how it works at what you're going to do that night. And right when he did that, a recoilist opened up on us, and they were firing at 4-1, Alpha 4-1, our tank. It went over 4-1 and into the CP group, and he got it. Okay, he didn't get killed, and I think it got most of, you know, I don't know how many guys that got it. But right after that, okay, another round comes from the recoilless, so they're trying to get 4-1, okay, and it went right over the tank. Well, the guy and I'm thinking, okay, Spider was our driver, okay, and I don't know if you knew Spider or not, but he was the shit fister for the platoon. He says, "I can't be the tank commander. I'm the." He said, "You're now the tank." So I'm a lance corporal, and it's like, shit. Okay, here we go. So I knew the next round was going to hit us, and you know,
if they split the antennas on the first one, then.
Well, the first one, yeah, and then the second one was even lower than that. It's like, okay, there's my hair, there it went. Okay, so I got on the radio and tried to tell whoever the grunt CO was. I said, "I'm going to move my tank," and he was adamant, "You're not moving your tank." And it was like Harry Shasso was in there besides that. He was the other guy, all right. I said, "Harry, I'm moving this tank because we're dead if I don't."
Yeah.
So I yelled down to the grunts in the hole next to us. I said, "We're coming over, but we're..." And I just moved it enough to get past their hole and throw those assholes off.
Right.
And then I called our new staff. Sergeant Spath was the new platoon sergeant. I said, "Can you see him?" And he says, "I think there was a little ravine out there, okay? It was like crisscross," and he says, "I think he's in there." I said, "That's where I thought I saw it." So we both popped a couple of HEs in there and got him.
Okay.
Well, then that was that. Then that night they called artillery and all around us. Okay. Then the next night we moved a little bit, and they were still trying to get us. We set in for that night. And now we had three men on the tank, me, Harry, and Spider. Harry and I got off the tank because the choppers had come in and brought in some water and some sea rats. So we went back to get that, and just about the time we got there, the shit hit the fan. And, you know, I mean, they opened up on us, and it was like, we didn't even have our flak jackets on, you know how that worked. So we ran and got on the tank, and they were firing RPGs, everything. I mean, everything. We got in the tank, and it, you know, just got dark. And I told Spider, I said, Spider, just tell me when the tracers are knee high, you know, you know. And then the grunt guy comes over and he says, just for all you tigers, the tiger, you know, if you lost four tiger guys, tiger men, you know. So we thought the whole crew was dead, all right, on 5-3. I think it was 5-3. So anyway, we're still firing, you know. We're working with the 30, and I fired a couple of beehives out there, and I think one canister. And in that interim, we broke a firing pin.
On the 30.
Okay, and we're working that 30 hard, man. And, you know, then all of a sudden, and we had the hatches closed, and it's like, bam, bam, bam on top of the hatches. All right, Sandy, you know, and it's like, bam, 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 Sandy. I looked at Harry. I said, the gooks know my name. He says, bullshit, they can't. I said, yeah, you're right. So open the hatch, and it was the tank commander from the other tank, Billy Bishop. He had an M14 in his hand, and he was solid blood. He had shrapnel all through him. We got him in the tank, and we kept firing and all that. And I called the grunt guy, and I said, we've got, you know, a guy over here. And he said, okay. He said, there's like two other guys. So we knew that at least most of the crew wasn't dead, okay? And that's when Corporal Colson, got a bunch of grunts together, and he was wounded. Colson was wounded. He got a bunch of grunts. They needed somebody in that spot because the gooks were going to come through there.
Yeah.
And Colson said, I can still do it, but I need some help. So he got in the tank and showed the grunts how to load the rounds in the 90 and, right, and work the 30. Well, he worked the 30. But, yeah, he got a Bronze Star for that night.
Got it.
And he deserved it.
What happened to...
Okay, Bishop and...
Yeah, Bishop.
Bishop and the gunner on that tank's nickname was Pappy. And Palmer... Not Pappy Reynolds.
Okay.
This is a different Pappy.
I see.
I don't know what his last name is. All I know, you know how that was. You just knew guys by their nickname.
Yeah. Was he short?
He was from Pittsburgh, is all I can tell you. I've got here's pictures of him in here.
Yeah.
If you want to see him, okay. Anyway, I don't know how this is going.
Yeah.
But Palmer was the driver. That tank took four RPGs. One of them hit the driver's hatch, and it was open just a little bit. So Palmer got it pretty bad. I think he got it the worst out of all the guys, and I never found out what happened to Palmer after that.
Oh, I see.
So,
Bishop, what happened to Bishop?
I don't know. I know he got medevac. Okay, there was a lull in the action, and that's when the grunt, I guess new grunt CO came over, and he says, if you can, get your wounded back here so we can try and get him out of here. So, you know, I told Spider, I said, okay, it's me and you, Spider. I told Harry, I said, if you can get him out of there, get him back over there, do it.
I see.
So we got him out of the tank, and Harry, you know, got him over there. And then Harry came back. Well, then the shit hit the fan again. So, or maybe still, I can't remember. But I do know that they called in Puff, okay,
yeah.
Snoopy that night.
Sure.
And yeah, he was on station for a half hour just working out, and you know, it's and all you can see is just one line of red coming down out of that airplane.
Puff was a CH
130?
No, it wasn't a CH, it was a
C-130. With those modified Gatling guns, whatever those things were, 6,000 rounds.
Six of them were, I mean, cyclic rate of fire forever. I mean,
every fifth round was a tracer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it.
It was. It
looked like fireworks.
It was.
Devastation. Rain in hell.
That's it. And then next morning they called in Phantoms or Airstrike and
Mop up,
still artillery. Yeah. And I got a picture. One of those Gook stood up and shot that Phantom and got him. Believe it or not, it's true. I got the picture of the guy, the smoke trail of him going down.
Somebody took a picture of a Phantom going down?
I did with a 126. You can see it. It's in here. You'll see it.
You took the picture?
Yeah. Yeah.
What did they get him with? A 51 or a...
No, AK-47. I'm not lying to you.
Lucky shot.
Well, yeah. You've seen that thing with that mouse?
Show me your endless...
The mouse with the hawk coming in on him and the mouse is going...
Yeah.
The one last act of defiance.
Right.
That was that Gook.
I'll be darned.
What do you... Show your
weapon. Let me see. Your most interesting picture.
Oh, I don't know which one's the most interesting. I got all kinds of them here. But I can show you that if you want to see that.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Two or three.
Yeah.
There's one of it going down. I mean, I've got them kind of separated here. This is where we were at, okay? And there's his... that might have been when he crashed. That spider.
Can you point it over here?
I'll show you. There's a couple more here. I've got them helter-skelter in here. No rhyme or reason.
Let me see Pappy.
There's Pappy, right there.
That's him.
That's Pappy?
I knew
that's Pappy. Not Reynolds.
Not Reynolds. Right. A different Pappy. He was forced in back into the Marine Corps, I think.
Okay.
Because he had too many bills and he was dodging them.
Okay. Yeah, and then let's see if I find what you were looking for here. There you go. There's where he... That might. I don't know.
So the pilot got out.
Pilot got out. Yeah, and I don't know whether these are bombs that he dropped or another plane dropped. Okay. Yeah,
why don't you turn that around with the camera? That's pretty cool.
Yeah, with a 126. Because they came in, and when they came in, you know, I popped my head up out of there. And I'm serious, I saw this Gook jump up, and it's like, you crazy son of a bitch, you know. Yeah. And he didn't care, you know. And he just, you know how the Phantoms come in, how low they come in.
Yeah. And Marine Corps Phantoms, yeah.
Yeah. And he just let go with everything he had. And it's like, when the plane started up out of there, it was like, he hit that sucker. You know?
That's pretty cool. Thanks for sharing that.
And then
that's a great story.
There's a lot of stories in this book. This guy right here, Rudy Mims, I don't know whether you knew Rudy or not. Black guy?
No.
He was on an extension. We were at Contien. The grunts were... There was something out there. And I can't... This had to be maybe June.
Okay.
Time to me is all lost for all of that. There was some really serious stuff going on out there. There was already, like, I think two tanks out there, okay, with the grunts. They came back in to get more ammo. We helped load them up. They went back out. I went out to the piss tube. Wow, and I look around and there's a guy laying over here, all right? And I say over here, I don't know how far he was, maybe 100 yards, but, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I yelled at him, are you okay? He says, I'm hit. And I said, So I got my flak jacket and helmet on because what happened was they had us zeroed with mortars and they got him when those tanks were up. Reloading, okay? And so I ran out and I got him and I, you know, he had shrapnel all through his back and stuff. And I got him into the bunker. And there was Lima down to the corpsman. They had the, you know, like their whatever content.
Lima.
A landline.
Okay.
Okay. I got him.
I know. I ask you those things for clarification.
Okay. So So we called the corps and we said, hey, we got a guy up here that's wounded, okay? Mm-hmm. And they said, okay, we'll be right up. Well, we didn't think anything about that, okay? They came up in a Jeep, okay, with the crosses on it and all that. And there were like at least two of them in the Jeep. You know this, what's going to happen. Okay, what happened was Mims and I start, you can't get four guys on with it holding a stretcher through those doors. You know that, okay? So I'm on the left rear, Mims is on the right. We get outside and we switch. I wind up on the right, he's on the left. Right when we're putting this guy in the Jeep, the mortars came in on us. They hit everybody but me and Harry, Crazy Harry. He was one of the other guys putting them in. And they got the two corpsmen, they got Mims in the eyes.
Did you ever get wounded?
I turned down, 2 days later, I turned down a Purple Heart. That's part of the story. 2 days later, I was out there on the tank and got hit, but I told everybody I fell off the tank. Guy couldn't walk, okay? Because it was just a surface wound on my leg. Anyway, they carried me down there to whatever it was, sick bay or where the corpsmen were, okay? And Mims and all these guys are still in there, you know? And I lost it.
Did you ever think about filing on that Purple Heart?
No. The guy that sewed me up, interestingly, said, where are you from? I'm Mansfield, Ohio. He says, I'm from Lucas. That's about 10 miles away.
I'm from Bay Village.
Get out. Okay. Well, I live in Elyria right now.
Okay.
So anyway, he asked me, he said, you want a heart? And, you know, I'm looking at Mims and all the. I said, no. He said, so you're turning down a heart? And I said, yes. I think he wrote that down. I don't know.
Maybe you should check out.
At this stage of the game, it doesn't matter. Anyway.
Might matter to your wife and. You got any kids?
Yeah, I've got three kids.
Okay.
Might matter to them? Yeah. Okay.
You think so?
I'll consider it, yeah.
I filed and got two more.
Really?
Yeah.
So I don't know what to do. Well, if you've done that, then you can tell me what I would need to do that. Yeah.
Send off for your records, get your buddy letters.
Well, Harry helped carry me down there, so he knows, okay? I mean, he wasn't an eyewitness to me getting hit, but he was there when I turned it down, so.
I get your buddy letters and file.
Well, my question is, did that corpsman keep a record of that?
Must have.
Okay. Well, anyway, that's that story.
How do you feel about it now? How do you feel about your experience?
The worst thing for me was coming home and being treated the way we were.
Okay. Tell us about it.
I wasn't spit on. But when we got to the airport in San Francisco.
Treasure Island?
It wasn't Treasure Island. We came into Toro, okay? And then from Toro, we had to get a taxi up to, I flew out of San Francisco.
Right.
When we got up there, I mean, you know, there were all the hippies and all that, and the clowns dancing around in the orange outfits. You know, I guess they were Hare Krishnas, okay? They're bouncing around all over the place. And these people are jeering us and calling us baby killers and all that. And it's like, you know what? I mean, to me personally, I thought I was something. I thought I was something for our country.
Right.
Not a piece of shit.
Right.
Okay? Yeah. And then that carried on. I mean, you know, that was that incident. But then when I got home, there was a New Year's Eve party I went to, and I went in my blues. Little did I know how really bad it was, how people really disgusted and hated military people.
Right.
And one of, you know, my best friends were even that way. The pukes, okay? Yeah, so I'm still bitter about that. I don't make friends easily anymore. Actually, you know, I make acquaintances.
Right.
But I don't.
What have you done in the years since you got out?
When I got out of the Marine Corps, I went to work for a data processing consulting company that had the contract at Cuyahoga Community College. Mm-hmm. I worked for them for 11 years, worked on contracts in Detroit and Genesee. Well, they lost the contract at Tri-C, and they came to all of us and said, see ya. That's what happens when you work for a contract outfit.
Right.
Okay, when they don't need you, you're gone. So that was really a shock to me, because at that point in time, I was making good money for that. You know, maybe I was making over $45,000 a year.
That's big money. That's
back then it was.
Big money.
Yeah, I was making that kind of money, and wife and three kids and a big house payment and all of that. Actually, the kids were in high. Anyway,
That might have been 12 years out. That's about 1981.
That was
82, 83.
86.
I see. Okay.
No, actually, it was 90. When that happened to me, it was 92.
I see. Okay.
Okay, but it was still good money. But then I was out. There was no severance pay. There was nothing. I was out in the world picking shit with the chickens.
Right.
Okay, so then it was okay, get the resume going and all of that. Well, what happened was I was in computer operations. That's what my forte was. I was an expert in computer operations, production data control.
Okay.
How to load the computers, what you get, you know, not programming, any of that. And in those days, a desktop computer, if you remember, they first came out in 1980-something? Yeah. Early 80s. So anyway, that technology all passed me by. It was so fast, you know.
Right.
I was 45 then, somewhere.
Yeah. You're almost
older than that.
Hard to get started.
Yeah, and people, you know, they weren't going to hire me for that kind of money. They could hire two young guys out of college and train them and still pay them less money, you know.
Right.
So I went to work for a golf course for $5 an hour just to get some kind of sanity back. I wound up working at Ford Motor Company for 6 years. I got hurt on the job, and contrary to what anybody tells you, they do not make sure you have a job. I had a nerve removed out of my wrist. Anyway, didn't get any pension from then. Started my own little advertising enterprise, okay? I didn't start it. I went to work for a guy, and what you did was you go to clients and say, here's the advertising,
right.
and I would get a percentage of it, and but he got the biggest percentage of
right.
it. But he set me up with a client that didn't pay, so that killed me, okay? I mean, that buried me.
And when did you start going to the veterans?
That's when I started going to veterans, because I didn't have any insurance, I didn't have anything else, and I was pretty down in the dumps, and I was hitting the beer pretty hard, and everybody kept telling me, you got to go to the VA. Well, finally, I relented and went, and they did the physical and all that other stuff, and that's when they started me out with 10%, and, you know, I told you the rest about that. You know, I wound up, I'm at 60%. The PTSD was the combat related.
Sure. Are you going to push for more?
People keep telling me to do that, and you know, I feel like I'd be a greedy bastard if I did that, you know.
That's more guilt.
Yeah. Well, you know, why should I push for more? I mean, they're giving me 60%. I'm not as screwed up as a lot of other guys, you and I both know.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a little dinky gal, but I'm not.
But you're comparing yourself to a lot of other people, not yourself.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
Well, that's like the Purple Heart thing, you know?
Well, maybe those things, I'm just saying from my experience, a lot of those things, when you clear those up,
yeah,
it's clarity.
And this, I want to show you this.
Show it to me.
I don't know whether you've read that or not.
Show.
I started writing in 1980. In 1980, something just...
Why don't you raise it up?
Hit me, and it's like...
Better put it on there where you can...
I had to start writing.
Where it's solid. Okay.
Can you get it?
Mm-hmm. And did you write that?
I did write that.
Well, why don't you read it?
All right, I will read it.
Because...
Did you get it?
It might be a source of solace.
Walking along the paddy dike, M16 in hand, chilled by wind, soaked by rain, alone in a distant land. Fog-shrouded mornings brought fear without warning, with fire and steel in the air, hugging the ground, not making a sound, not wanting to die over there. Flies in the daytime, mosquitoes at night, and keeping the rats away were part of the lifestyle, part of the plight we had to endure every day. The stifling heat, wiping sweat from the brow, put many a man to the test, and on every patrol, one man somehow could find his eternal rest. Soaked with blood and caked with mud, who said there's glory in war? Probably someone without a son who's never been in one before. Somber faces soon replaced the laughter and smiles that were there. There were no friends, because friendship ends with a bullet that doesn't care. Living in holes half filled with mud and drinking from a can, cringing when rockets came down with a thud, and watching your trembling hand. 13 months, no sweat, they said, before they sent us there. So we all did the dirty job for a nation that didn't care.
That's excellent. When did you write that?
1980.
Yeah.
It was just like a fountain start.
1980 or 81.
Whatever it says there.
Something like that. Have you put this into the sponsor box?
No.
Our sponsor box is our newsletter,
right,
our magazine.
Right. Yeah.
Why don't you make a commitment before you file your Purple Heart and your percentage. I don't want to tell you what to do, but why don't you give that to John Ware to put in the sponsor box?
Okay, yeah.
You got to do that.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys that have read it have already asked me that.
You've got to do that.
I will do that.
Okay. I should have taken that. That was excellent, and from the author. In fact, you should write more.
I have.
Okay.
I've got to stack that. And then it came like a fountain. It just wouldn't stop. The words just kept coming.
Okay.
And I actually started writing a book.
Well, you know, Sergeant Hope did. He has four
right.
books now. I don't know if you know. I wrote one.
Okay. Well, I bought it. What was your book? Because I bought
Beyond My Horizon.
I haven't.
It's for the next generation. It's for education. There's five chapters on caisson, but.
Okay.
It's supposed to be inspirational. That is inspirational. You need to give that to John Ware and get that published.
We'll get it there.
Because it's for all of us.
Yes.
And the reach is, will go out. And otherwise, it's going to be on a wall.
That's where it's been for 30 years.
And it's going to get lost.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to hand it down, not know what to do with it, but you can.
Yeah.
But you can, and we can all enjoy it. That's beautiful. That is really beautiful.
Thank you.
And thanks for sharing with us. I think we're about out of time.
Okay.
And we appreciate it. Is there anything else that you want to go over real quick? Anything else you want to say? I think you've said a lot. I think you have some things to think about.
Yeah. Yeah, I appreciate that, and thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. 10 for 5.
Yeah. Same.
We did it.
Yeah.
An interesting thing was said to us when we were over there at the Alamo. Well, no, it wasn't said to us. It was in that movie.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Those guys all crossed the line.
Yeah.
We crossed the line.
Yeah.
There you go. Knowing. And we were willing to cross the line.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you. Most of our generation wasn't.